Well, good morning. It's really a privilege to be here, and I'm going to venture out and go out on a limb, and I'm going to try to tell you a joke. So because of the hospitality I received, I feel comfortable telling you the joke, because I know at the end, whether I succeed or fail, I know I'll get a good laugh. There was this soldier in the army, and from the deep south, and he was overseas. And he remembered that it was his mother's birthday. So he thought about what he was going to get his mother. And he found it. It was an exotic bird that spoke five languages. So he sends the bird home to his mother. And on her birthday, he calls with anticipation. And he says, "Mama, how did you like the gift?" And she says, "Son, it was good." He said, Mama, that bird spoke five languages. I know you didn't eat that bird." And the mama said, "Son, if it spoke five languages, why didn't it say something then?" And the moral in the story is that sometimes, like the soldier, we tend to look at facts and not the truth. The fact was that it was his mother's birthday, but the truth was that his mother was hungry. So he needed to align his resources so that he could meet her needs with truth. And in my own reality, as I came back to Wake County, I wanted to look at the truth in my life. And when I hear the story of Rochester, I think about, we've seen, let me give you a counterfactual. 80% of the schools are high poverty schools, is that right? But then we talk about the graduation rates, depending on how you calculate it, if you look at growth, maybe up to 50%. Well, if 80% of the schools are high poverty, when the indicators say that high poverty schools cannot graduate students, then the 50% is doing something right. We got to find out what the 50% is doing. Because inside of those schools, there is a teacher somewhere in one of those classes whose students are succeeding at elementary, middle, and high school level. So the conversation cannot be about what's wrong. It's got to be a glass half full conversation, because that's the only way that you're going to build and sustain momentum to celebrate the strength and the success. And in my own life, when I go back and I went around the country and I got tired of coming home doing commencement addresses, feeling like I was making a difference, when the only thing that mattered were the people who were on the ground, in the trenches, in the classroom, day in and day out, who were responsible for me being success. So I owed a debt of gratitude to come back to my system and to say thank you. I think about my teacher in the fifth grade, Cynthia Sanders, who taught me that I had the stuff to be successful, but I had to apply myself. I think about my little league basketball coach, Herman Hinton, when my father was not there, who told me I could be a leader on and off the court. And I think about my own mother, who sacrificed her freedoms so that she could go back to school and get her counseling certificate and her administrative certificate so that her son could be successful. I think about my uncle, who was the board chair of the Wake County Public Schools when it was merged in the 70s, who reminded me after I spent 18 years in media and said, "You owe a debt of gratitude. You have a responsibility to come home and find your place in making a difference." So I began to think about, how can my organization move from being relevant to significant? And anybody who's involved in work that is transformative, we can do good things sometime, but if we can't prove it statistically, then we are relevant in terms of how good we're doing, but we're not statistically significant enough for people to say, "We can't do it without you." So we developed the theory of change. We wanted to move beyond the ABCs, from relevance to significance. Our question zero is, why do students waste their potential? Our theory of change is this: programs don't change people, relationships do. So our destination was our vision. We help schools remove the barriers that put students at risk of wasting their potential. And so my appeal to the community at large, to the business community, stakeholders, is if you want to be part of the solution, then you have to affirm the people who are in place in the district. And you can't talk at them or about them. You've got to work with them. It is easy to say that you have the solution and you're not engaged. But until you roll up your sleeve and you get engaged in the work, is the only way that you're going to get an understanding of what the problems are that they may face. So what was our mission? Our mission was we could accomplish our vision by surrounding students with a community support, empowering them to stay in school and achieve in life. The path had to be pre-K through 12 in communities and in schools. Now, I've been at my organization now. I'm going into my fifth year. Bill said that it is a marathon, not a sprint, and he is correct. It has taken us 5 years to move from serving 200 students in 5 community-based learning centers in low-income communities to now serving over 3,000 students at 21 school sites and 6 community sites. It takes, or 5 community type sites. It takes money and resources, and it took us 5 years to get there. It's going to take another 5 years to construct the pipeline so that we can deliver continuous services from pre-K to 12, cradle to career, in communities that are high poverty communities, including Head Start partnerships that we have, pre-K education, all the way up through 12th grade, and then in the school system where we're currently in 21 different schools providing, here's what we provide. Here's our input. We select schools with the districts that we want to target resources. We identify students. We place graduation coaches to help students in the school system, assistant coaches, smart coaches who are ed specialists, mentors, volunteers, resource partners, and we provide learning centers. What are our processes? Case management, assessment, diagnosis, prescription. We created something called the Smart Academy. So here's the deal. I challenged the group in breakfast this morning. And listen, I'm from Southeast Raleigh. I'm from an area that is considered low income community. And what I said to them, I'm saying to you, do not allow poverty to become an excuse. Don't allow it. And here's why. If you have 80% of the schools that are high poverty schools, and you say that the sole solution, I know you haven't said that today, but please don't, is that we have to address poverty first. What you're doing is saying we'll wait, we'll punt down the road until we address poverty. But what about the parents? What about the kids who that situation may not ever change? You have got to change the dynamic so that the community can uplift itself and say, despite what our economic conditions are, we shall succeed, we will succeed, and you are not alone, student and parent, in your effort. We're going to provide you the help that you need. That's got to be the value proposition. And the value proposition to the broader community is what I do right now. If you can take one of those high poverty schools, go to a classroom and show where a teacher is achieving success, that should become the model for the future. And what do people pay for? People invest in success. If it can be done in one of the high poverty schools in the classroom with this teacher that is doing something marvelous, now the whole community can be proud of it, get behind it, and then now all of a sudden it becomes the model of the nation in Rochester. Because you disproved that it couldn't be done. That's what people invest in. If I go to people in our community in Wake County and I say, I want to do some good. I want to serve these low-income kids. I get crumbs. But you know where I get investment from? The likes of Biogen and SAS. When I can go to them and show data in my Smart Academy and say, look, we do weekend school. We do after school. Using project-based learning. And I had people come to Southeast Raleigh to a learning center across from Ligon Middle School, which many of the people here visited on Saturdays and on weekends because we provided a service that nobody else provided in the county when we were delivering enrichment for Common Core readiness in the grade test. People came from high-income communities. They came from as far away as other counties because I offered something that they did not offer, that others didn't offer, and they didn't care that it was in a low-income community. And today I'm proud to announce that we are getting results back from a 2-year study that shows that kids in grades K through 3 have shown 100% growth in proficiency in math and language arts over 30 weeks. And so what we have is working. I will celebrate that. I will sell that. And I'm telling you, in the midst of your school district, the glass is half full, it is not half empty, and you have some success stories that you need to start marketing and tell the world about and shift the resources and build around those success stories. Thank you.